We would like to say hello and good morning to Janet Gollinger. Welcome to 1590 The Connection. Janet, thank you so much for joining us about your unique self-defense book for children, I Need to Be Safe.
Thank you, Maria. I'm honored to be here.
And simple yet effective survival tools, step-by-step photos explaining every technique, 32 self-defense techniques, and obviously it, I would imagine, is are lessons that not only apply to our children, but probably to all of us.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody needs to know how to defend themselves in different situations. What I did was I took my martial arts background and my teaching background. I combined the two. I brought the martial arts skills down to very basic movements where you don't need power and strength to defend yourself. You merely need balance and technique, and that's what I teach. Not only children, but I teach women self-defense as well. And that's the only way they can defend themselves against someone much bigger than themselves.
Now, I understand, though, sometimes, Janet, they say a little bit of information can be dangerous because you might have be lulled into a false sense of security because you think you know how you can protect yourself. And the truth is, you are a second-degree black belt, right? That's different than me, who
exactly
just has survival instincts.
Exactly. I mean, I do like 2-hour seminars and workshops, not only for children but for women, and I make sure I explain to them, listen, you're not going to be a black belt in 2 hours. I don't want you to get overconfident, and we have to tell kids the same thing, and we have to repeat that to them, and that's why the book is not just written to the children, it's written to the parents to use as a guide to work with their kids. I never believed in book that you can learn anything, you know, with that's physical just from a book. Children need supervision, and that's where the parents step in. It's not only wonderful that they can bond together this way, and the parents will learn the self-defense techniques themselves, but at the same time, they're supervising their child, and you know, you have to take it step by step. But the more you practice and the more you practice with your child, the more confident your child will be, and the more skilled your child will be, as well as you.
Now, I would think that not only the hands-on approach is what's important, but also the tips that you give about how to look at your surroundings, how to identify strangers, safety levels, and those safety tips. You want to share some of that with our listeners? Because I think
Absolutely.
That applies to all of us.
First of all, the whole program stems from the program I wrote for my own students. I teach 4th, 5th, and 6th grade physical education. And what I did was I tried to make it where you don't really have to get physical unless it's absolutely necessary. And how do you do that? You have to be proactive. Children need to be taught to be aware. They need to walk with their heads up. They need to be looking around, what we call scanning their environment. Even when they're walking with other children, they need to turn their heads side to side. They need to be aware of what's around them. When they're doing that, they're going to know if there is somebody they've never seen before walking behind them or walking towards them, and they have to keep their eye on this person. If they find that this stranger is getting closer to them, they have to keep their distance. So the first part of being proactive is keeping their distance. The second part is if the stranger is approaching them, they need to get a good look at the stranger, try to just pick out maybe 4 things about this stranger. And when I say pick out 4 things, it's what we call identifying strangers. They want to pick out 4 things that normally wouldn't be able to be changed within the next 10 minutes. So skin tone, height, male or female, complexion, or do they have any facial hair if it's a man, color of the hair. These are the things that won't change so rapidly, where somebody can change their shirt or change their jacket or their pants in a van and become a different person. Once they just get those 4 things in their mind, they need to run immediately to a safe area, whether it's to school, back to the house, to the local police station, whichever is closest, where there's an adult that they know they can trust, and they can tell them who's out there, what they saw, why they're feeling some fear, so that the police can be called.
So you do advocate that they bolt and not just keep their pace, because I would
absolutely.
Imagine if they're running, that's going to attract more attention.
Exactly. And you know what? If a stranger starts to run after them, then the next thing they need to do is, while they're running, wave their arms around in the air and yell as loud as they can, because they need to make noise. It's just like when I tell my students, before you start going to an attack, so-called physical attack mode to defend yourself. If somebody tries to grab you, you have a backpack, try to unzip it, you know, a little bit quickly, and then throw the backpack so everything gets strewn all over the place. A perpetrator does not want evidence left.
Hmm.
And so you have to make yourself big and wide, and you have to let people know that you're out there and you're in trouble. Children are good at that. They're screaming all the time. But what I tell my students and what I tell parents is explain the difference between a scream and a yell. The kids these days, they're always screaming because they're having fun. They love screaming. But a scream when they're scared is fear. But a yell is power, and it's telling people, I need help.
And how do you modulate that? I would imagine when you're in that kind of situation, even uttering anything might be difficult.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some kids and even some adults who they get into a fearful situation and they totally freeze and nothing comes out at all. That's when they have to just start, you know, getting that. That's why it's so important to practice these techniques. When you practice the techniques, you get, you know, become a little better at them. They become second nature. It comes out of you faster. You don't have to think about what do I have to do. You just react.
And Janet, yeah. What about eye contact? Is that something that you encourage or dissuade?
You know, for children, I don't actually encourage eye contact. What I do encourage is keep your head up, walk straight. Don't be slumped over because then you look like a target and a victim. You have to walk with confidence. You don't necessarily have to stare them down in the eye. It's okay to look them quickly in the eye, but mainly when you look at them, get those four things in your head about them so that you can identify them should you need it. But continue to walk. Don't let a stranger get within 10 or 15 feet of you. You have to keep your distance. Because remember, a stranger to a child is an adult, and they have a longer reach, they can lunge quickly, and they can grab a child easily.
Mm-hmm.
A child needs to keep their distance, and the more distance they have, the more chance they have of getting away when they start to run.
Now, I need to be safe. I'm worth it. The self-defense book for children, what ideally is the age range that you're looking to appeal to?
You know, I mainly work with 8 to 14-year-olds is what the book is ideally geared to. But, you know, there's a lot of 6 and 7-year-olds out there who are capable of doing this as well. And in fact, you know, I've taught as young as 4.5 or 5 years old. It depends on the child. But I do start, for my book, I start them at 8 because it really gives the parents something to work with. And again, the parents need to work out what if, you know, scenarios with their kids. And that's how we practice at school, and that's how I teach parents to work with their children. You can't just sit a child down and just explain everything to them. They have to see it visually. And you have to allow them to be creative when they come up with these scenarios with you so that they, you know, can, so they can, you know, see the different things that could be happening. Not just that, okay, this guy spots walking towards you, what would you do? You want to make it a creative scenario so that the child can actually come up with more ideas of what else they can do. And as they do that, the parents have to listen. And if they feel that the child's getting a little too creative, they have to explain to them, you have to keep it more basic. You don't have the time. You only have a matter of 5 seconds to get out of the way.
So it's important, that's why, to practice in advance so that you're not standing there trying to make decisions. You know what to do instinctually.
Absolutely. And that's why some kids and even some adults, they get overconfident when they learn one simple technique. They figure they can go out and just, you know, take anybody down. And they have to understand you can't do that. This is a basic technique for this particular movement.
Janet, is your book readily available?
Absolutely. It's available at Amazon.com. It's available at BarnesandNoble.com. And I will be doing a book signing in Simi Valley at Borders Books in Simi Valley on September 29th at 3 p.m. And the book is also available on various websites, including our website, which is www.classeducation.org.
And Janet, did you say you're going to be at the CME Barnes & Noble on September 29th?
Yes, I am.
Good.
At 3 p.m.
We're going to put that down on our website.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm also going to do a small demonstration with the kids that are there so some parents can see exactly how to use some of these techniques.
Awesome, Janet. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for your message, Janet Gollinger, of course.